Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, May the 23rd. And today we're going to talk about what happened in Texas yesterday, May the 22nd, when they had the second round, when we had the second round here of the elections. The biggest contest, certainly from the fact that it covered the whole state, was the race for governor on the Democrat side. And we'll get into that. But I can tell you just up front, this was a, if you're a Democrat, you have to look at that election and say to yourself, how is it possible that less than 450,000 people, I think it was more like 435,000 who actually voted. And you have to be sitting there saying, are we serious? I mean, are we really serious about winning at the state level? I mean, my goodness, that is a terrible turnout. I would also say that even though Andrew White got the support of the Dallas Morning News, it was endorsed by the Dallas Morning News, I believe he was endorsed by other major newspapers in the state as well. For whatever reason, he never caught on. And in many ways, I think he kind of quit at the end there. I mean, he was within distance. He was within reach of Lupe Valdez. I think a good, effective radio and TV campaign maybe could have gotten him over the top, but he decided not to do it. So fascinating race. A lot of other fascinating races across the state. Let me say hello to our good friend down in San Antonio, George Rodriguez. I bet it's really warm and humid there. Well, why do I believe that?
Well, because it's true. It's that time of the year. It's very warm.
That's right.
And it's very humid. It's about 90 degrees outside, and I would venture to say that the humidity is about at least 50% right now. I mean, it's pretty hot.
Yeah, it is about that way here, too. It kind of reminds me of that fellow who called the North Pole and said, really, is it 50 degrees below zero? And the guy said, well, yeah, that's kind of the way it is up here. And that's kind of the way it is in Texas, is, you know, as the closer we get to Memorial Day, the more that those temperatures begin to creep into the 90s. Well, George, we've been talking about this runoff for a few weeks, and I would say that I'm not surprised that Lupe Valdez won, but the turnout is still, I thought they would at least get 700,000 people to turn out.
Yeah,
it was really bad, and I mean, it's beyond. I mean, I don't know, how do you explain this if you're a Democrat, George?
Well, I you know, it's going to be very difficult. I'm dying to see what the spin is over the next couple of days, because according to the Texas Tribune, this was the voter turnout for Democrats in this gubernatorial race was the worst in 100 years.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
since 1920. Not since 1920 had they seen anything this low.
In terms of percentage, you mean, of course. Yeah, you're talking about percentage.
No, in terms of numbers. In terms of numbers.
Oh, my goodness.
There were 449,000 Democrats voted in 1920. Now, let's remember, in 1920, Texas was about as Democrat as you could get.
Right,
so
saying
that, you know, Democrats were voting in that was like saying like everybody was voting in that in a runoff.
Was also the winner of that runoff went on to be governor. That was pretty
exactly.
much a governor's contest, yeah.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But, I mean, this situation that we've got right now with or that we just saw with, you know, this low voter turnout by Democrats, you know, I'm just very, very curious as to how they're going to spin it.
Yeah, now they're not going to say that there was voter intimidation, are they?
Well, you know, given the track record that they have in the past,
yeah.
Given
who
Hillary
we're talking about,
come back and speak.
Yeah,
Hillary can come back and give some explanations herself, you know, as to why.
Yeah, maybe it's because
we're
requiring an ID now.
Yeah, exactly.
Photo
I mean,
ID, maybe that's why
heaven
Democrats
knows what, you know, what their arguments are going to be. But, I mean, 415 is what I have read was the total. So that's amazing.
Yeah, well,
I
did
shocking.
It is. I did a rough count when it was like 92-93%, and I figured, well, maybe though at that time there was like at maybe 400,000, and I just kind of did an estimate that it would be somewhere, you know, around 450,000, but you know, even 500, 600 would have been a pretty bad turnout, considering the distance. I mean, you've got Greg Abbott over here who got 1.3 million, 1.4 in an uncontested race, and you've got both candidates together, you know, getting 410, 420. And here's the question I wanted to ask you, George, about this, because I don't get the feeling that these are two groups that like each other a great deal. I mean, you could argue that they represent maybe the two segments of the party, you know, what they like to call progressive and centrist. So is it possible then that, let's say, 190,000, 200,000 who voted for Andrew White kind of stay home?
I really do. I really do. I think what the Democratic Party has done successfully is they have alienated the center part, the moderate part of the Democratic Party so well that, you know, that you now only hear from and see the very, very rabid progressives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is the Texas Tribune and the San Antonio Express and a few others are making a big deal out of the sexual preference of both Lupe Valdez
right.
and out of Gina Ortiz-Jones, who is the congresswoman or who is the nominee for Congress here in South Texas. And they're really making a big deal out of it. And I think when you've got that kind of publicity, I just don't see how it can play well in Texas. I mean, that might play well in San Francisco. That might play well in New York and in Massachusetts. But here, I just don't see how it's playing. You know, and I think that they are victimizing. They are shooting themselves in the foot with their very, very progressive turn to the left. And then you also couple that with their attitude regarding immigration enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, Lupe Valdez, who has made no qualms that she does not she is not going to support federal immigration law, nor is she going to cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, you know, that just doesn't play very well.
No,
so,
that doesn't play well here because, as you know, we're the Texas just passed SB4, and it has just been validated by a federal court. So,
right.
I mean, that law is about as strong as it can be right now. I mean, I guess it could go to the Supreme Court. That's the only other place, but
well,
I don't think
well, let's
it'll
talk
have
about,
any.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened right here, right there in her own backyard. In her own backyard,
yes.
The Dallas Morning News did not endorse her.
That's right. They endorsed Andrew White. You're correct.
So cool.
And what's interesting, though.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, but what's interesting to me, George, is that the people who were voting for Andrew White, I mean, the Dallas Morning News, their editorial pretty much said it. You know, we love the fact that she's a Latina. We love the fact that she has a very humble background. And, you know, that we love that. But she hasn't been very sharp on her feet. I mean, I'm paraphrasing,
exactly.
But that's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And she isn't very sharp on her feet. This is not a sharp lady. I'm not saying she's
That's it. No, she's not.
Yeah.
She doesn't show. I mean, she doesn't show that she's a Rhodes Scholar. Now, again, the same criticism of their academic prowess, and I'll put it in those terms, the same criticism regarding their academic prowess has been heaped on folks like the Castro brothers here in San Antonio.
Right.
But the Castro brothers have been very careful never to be in debates, never to get out in public on a major issue, get out in front.
Right.
And keep themselves only in areas where people adore them.
Luka right. I mean, they've only they've never run.
Yeah.
The Castro brothers have never run in a competitive race.
They haven't. They haven't. Mm-hmm. And you know, unfortunately, Lupe is now. I mean, she's got a target on her back now. And how the Abbott campaign comes after her, I think it's going to be more of how careful they attack her rather than whether or not she's she's a real viable candidate.
Yeah, well, I think the most of the Democrats realize that she's not a very viable candidate, and I think that's the reason that Andrew White even did as well as he did. You know, when you have the major newspapers, the Houston paper, the Dallas Morning News, I'm not sure about San Antonio, but who did they endorse, Lupita or Andrew?
No, they went with Lupe.
Okay, all right. So two out of the three big ones, I don't know about the Austin Statesman, who they supported. But anyway, Dallas Morning News and Houston Chronicle would be the two largest papers in the state, and they both endorsed Andrew White. And if you read the endorsement of the Dallas Morning News, it's just very interesting. I mean, what they're basically saying is, we think this guy has more potential to debate Abbott, and I think he does actually as well. I agree with that. And
yeah.
But I mean, my guess, George, I think my guess is that Abbott is going to maybe sit back a little bit and let, because she's got to get out there. I mean, she has a terrible money problem as well. I mean, she's got to get out there and raise money. And where is she going to go to raise money? She's going to have to go to the left and raise money. So she's
right.
probably going to have to give a lot of speeches and take a lot of positions over the next couple of months that are just going to be like pitches right down the middle of the plate for Abbott.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's look. I mean, it was indicative. Remember that we spoke last week, but it was
yes.
indicative of the amount of money that they were getting,
mm-hmm.
not the money that they had loaned themselves.
Right, right.
But the amount of contribution, and the amount of contribution was less than $100,000.
That's right.
I mean, it was incredible. It was less than $100,000. And you go, oh, my gosh, how can that be
mm-hmm.
For a Gumentera? But there it was. There it was. So it'll, you know, it's, they have a problem. Let's just say that the Democrats, particularly at the top of the ticket here in Texas, have a real problem.
I agree. Now, let's talk a little bit at some of the other races. You had a few contests in South Texas. You know, it's funny. We didn't have anything up here. I feel kind of jealous because there was nothing going on up here. A couple of the city of Dallas, but nothing that was very controversial. So fill me in. What happened in South Texas?
Well, there were two very, very big contested races here in South Texas or here in the San Antonio area.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that. Where Lamar Smith, Congressman Lamar Smith, was leaving the Congress. He has retired, and the replacement for the state Speaker of the House, Joe Strauss, who is also a San Antonian. Given those were very high visibility, high. Very important elections that were going on. In the first one, the one for Congress to replace Lamar Smith, the Chip Roy was against a newcomer. You know, he's not really a newcomer. He had run
mm-hmm.
twice before. This was his third time to run, and. Chip Roy won, and it was not a high amount of turnout, and it wasn't that it was a contested race, but it was not
mm-hmm.
that high of a turnout.
Mm-hmm.
However, down in Corpus, the replacement, the folks that were going to the two people that were running in the Republican primary to replace. Blake Farenthal, Congressman Blake
mm-hmm.
Farenthal, who, as you recall, was left, in a disgrace.
Right, right.
Yeah, the two folks that were running garnered a huge amount a huge amount of votes. The winner, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name, McLeod. The gentleman's name is McLeod, Michael McLeod. He got 14,400 votes. And, I mean, you know, that's a huge, amazing, in mm-hmm. fact, over 20,000 votes were cast in that district race. Over 20,000, that's, you know, gosh, that's incredible. That's an incredible amount. That, when you compare it with the number of ballots that were cast against or in the Democrat, you know, once again, the Democrats barely had 5,000. Barely.
Right. So when you look at let's say when you look ahead at November, do you see the Democrats picking up? I don't mean governor in the U.S. Senate, but I think Ted Cruz is going to be reelected by at least 10 points, and I'm beginning to think more that Abbott is going to be around 20. So I think those two are fairly safe. But let's say some of these congressional seats. Do you see any Republicans going down in November?
At this point, no, I don't. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, I can't see anybody really, really being contested. Mm-hmm. The only headache that we've got, and the, you know, the two places that where Republican conservatives, what we would call arch conservatives, the only places where they lost was because they had stepped on their tongues.
Right,
and that was one in Houston. There was one in Houston, and I believe there was another one in Dallas. Even, mm-hmm. gosh, the gentleman that was running for county commissioner, I believe he called.
I know you're talking.
You know, but those are the only two instances where you can say candidates blew it, were beaten back. But you know, again, that was within a runoff, and I just cannot see. How it's going to here's a clarification. Let me give you a clarification. The congressional seat to replace Blake Farenthal, Congressional District 27, was between Raul Barrera, who is a Democrat, and Mike McLeod. Oh, excuse me, Beck Brown, who is a Democrat, and Mike McLeod, who is a Republican, and it was a head-to-head fight. And in comparison, or should I say, not a head-to-head, but it was in comparison, the Democrats got less than 10,000 votes. McLeod by himself got 14,000.
Right.
So I mean,
yeah.
It is. I just can't see that. I cannot see happening. I really can't.
Right. No, I feel the same way. I think that you know all this stuff about the wave has simply not materialized, and it seems the further we get from primary day back in March, the less enthusiastic the Democrats seem to be. I sent you an article. I don't know if you had a chance to see it, by Douglas Schoen. He is used to work for President Clinton, and he does a lot of work. He's one of the contributors at Fox News. One of the most, I would put him among the most thoughtful Democrats in the world. This is a straight shooter. This is not a. I mean, this is not a guy who just does the talking points. He's a straight shooter. And he thinks, and I want to ask you, in case you didn't have the chance to see it, what he was saying was that these progressives, as they like to call them, are actually hurting the party because they're making it more difficult. I mean, when you run a progressive in November, that makes it more difficult to win in many of these general elections. And his point is that the energy of all of those people is hurting the Democrat Party. And what I wanted to do is take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want you to react to that as it relates to Texas, because I think we saw some of that progressive energy, if you will, around the state, and that's not helping the Democrats. So let me take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the progressives and their energy here in Texas. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have all of that on the show information right under the show description. You'll be able to see his the link to Carlo's schedule. Well, George, let me pursue that point with you, because you and I have talked about this several times when we've done these shows. In fact, a few weeks ago, we were saying that the energy, the real blue wave, is within the Democrat Party. And it's a wave coming from the left and in many ways driving out the centrist. We saw some of that in Texas, and you must have seen a lot of it in South Texas, George.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It really is manifesting itself here in South Texas, where you've got, you know, a district attorney candidate that's backed by George Soros. You've got a congressional candidate that's openly gay. You've got a couple of other congressional candidates or local candidates who proclaim very proudly that they entered the country legally when they were little, and you've got some real radical folks, very radical folks, and it's obvious that it's not playing well. It's creating a lot of enthusiasm with the liberal media and within their group.
Right,
but
right.
It is just not playing well with the rest of the folks. It's just not. I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to mount a middle of the road, a campaign that will attract uncommitted voters. I just can't see how they're going to do it. I mean, I just cannot see how they're going to do that.
Right, and the other issue too is, like, even Lupe Valdez. I mean, it seems like her only her sexual orientation seems to be the most important thing in the world here.
Exactly, that's exactly.
I mean,
right.
It's like, they carry it's like, my gosh, like, we finally nominated a lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And that's that's really interesting. But what about the border security? What about taxes? What about the pocketbook issues, which everybody really cares about?
Mm-hmm.
Those things don't seem to be playing well.
No,
we have I wrote a piece this morning, just a little blurb about the Democrat that's running in Congressional District 21 against Chip Roy, who is a white male and a businessman, and I'm dying to see what are his positions going to be, how is he going to run, given the propensity for Democrats to run on race and be anti-capitalism. I mean, I'm just dying to see how the heck he's going to do that.
Yeah, I just think that my sense has always been that if you're going to run in Texas on a statewide basis, I'm not talking about districts. You can always you can run in a liberal district and win, of course. But if you have to get votes out of the whole state, which means you got to go into that central Texas area, those rural areas, West Texas, East Texas, areas that are very conservative, very rural. I just think that Lupe Valdez falls flat in those areas. And even in South Texas, and I'm going to say something perhaps offensive to people of a certain sexual orientation, but I don't think that her sexual orientation is going to play real well with Hispanics.
That's
South,
exactly.
I mean, remember Wendy Davis? Wendy Davis fell flat with her because of her abortion position.
That's right. For a group of progressives, for a group of people that are so sensitive, supposedly, to culture and everything else, they don't seem to be very, very sensitive to Hispanic males on their cultural point of view. They don't.
Right. No. No, they're not, and they forget that the Hispanic community is an extremely religious community, and very family oriented, very religious community, very motherhood oriented. I mean, I think that's what happened to to Wendy Davis. She just fell flat. I mean, there was just nothing. Once she got out of the of certain liberal pockets, I mean, she was dead in the water here in Texas. Well, George, we made it to the runoff. Now we've got to give this a little time. Probably not much will happen. Although I do predict that the two things that Lupe Valdez is going to start coming out giving policy speeches just to impress people that she actually understands these issues, and I think that's a great opening for Governor Abbott, because she's going to say something stupid. You know that. And I do think she has to get out and raise some money as well. So to me, that's where the activity is going to be on her side. I think Abbott is going to do what he did last night here in Texas or in Dallas, where he showed up at the baseball game and showed up at the baseball game in a special ceremony for the people killed in Santa Fe. So anyway. We're probably going to see a lot of Abbott in a lot of those non-political settings, while on the other hand, we're going to see Lupe Valdez poking and poking, hoping that he makes a mistake, George.
Yep. It's going to be, I hate to be repeating this, but it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of messages and what kind of messaging and how they craft a campaign.
Yes.
Being that they are so progressive and mm-hmm. lean so far to the left that I think that they've fallen over.
No, I agree. I agree 100% with you. That's why I always felt that Andrew White would be a better candidate, because he didn't go crazy like that to the left. He was more of a – I'm not going to say he's an old-fashioned Democrat, but he's more of a centrist, more in the middle, and who I think could appeal – to a lot more people. Well, George, have a good Memorial Day with your family. And
Thank you.
We'll get reconnected again soon. And we'll talk maybe more about other politics now that we've taken care of the Texas politics for this, at least for this month. I think it'll be a while before the politics here gets going. But there's a lot of politics nationwide that we can keep up with in future shows.
Oh, gosh, yes. All right, my man, would you take care? Thank you very much.
All
Have
right.
a great Memorial Day.
You too. Happy Memorial Day, George, and the best to you and to your family. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you for listening. As we said, this is very interesting situation down in Texas. I was really astonished what George said about the turnout, that this is the lowest turnout in numbers since 1920. That's astonishing. I mean, that's astonishing. So I don't know what the percentage is, but it had to be. I don't know. It had to be in single digits when you get that kind of a turnout in a state like Texas. 450,000 people decided to vote for one of these two people. That's amazing. Less than 450. It was like 410, 420, as George was indicating. That's not a lot of people. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, where it's warm and humid, and you kind of get the feeling that Memorial Day is just around the corner. Well, I think it is. Bye-bye, everybody.